you, Americans, and your allies. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I have a song by Roger Quilter to open with today. It's called Over the Mountains.
Over the mountains and over the waves, under the fountains and under the graves, under floods that are deepest which Neptune obeys, over rocks that are steepest, love will find out the way. Where there is no place for the glowworm to lie, where there is no space for receipt of a fly, where the midge dare not venture lest herself fast she lay, if love come, he will enter and will find out the way. Some think to lose him or have him confined, some do suppose him, poor thing, to blind. But if ne'er so close ye wall him, do the best that ye may. Blind love, if so ye call him, soon will find out his way. You may train the eagle to stoop to your fist, or you may inveigle the phoenix of the east. The lioness you may move her to give or her prey, but you'll ne'er stop a lover. Love will find a way.
Now a grand tune and a beautiful arrangement of it by Victor Young. Underneath the Stars. Thank you. streams and rivers have been the inspiration for many, many fine songs. As witness Swanee River, Old Man River, the Volga Boatman, just to name a few. Here's another one with words by the poet Thomas Moore. The lovely old song, Bendemeer Stream.
Stream, and the nightingale sings round it all the day long. In the time of my childhood, 'twas like a sweet dream to sit in the roses and hear the bird song. That bower and its music I never forget, but oft when alone in the bloom of the year, I think, is the nightingale singing there yet? Are the roses still bright by the calm Bendemeer? No, the roses soon withered that hung o'er the wave, but some blossoms were gathered while freshly they shone, and the dew was distilled from their flowers that gave all the fragrance of summer when summer was gone. Thus memory draws from delight ere it dies, an essence that breathes of it many a year. Thus bright to my soul, as 'twas then to my eyes, is that bower on the banks of the calm Bendemeer.
Ken Darby has arranged a new song by Richard Rogers and Oscar Hammerstein, who wrote the music for Oklahoma. We feel that the title and the words are especially timely. On our way.
Step by step, foot by foot, yard by yard, mile by mile, the infantry's moving up, the infantry's moving in, the infantry's moving on and on and on. Yay, brother, verily, verily, yeah, hallelujah, we're on our way. Wading through the water, climbing up the beach, slogging through the mud, choking in the dust. The infantry's moving up, the infantry's moving in, the infantry's moving on and on and on. Yay, brother, verily, verily, yeah.
Peace be on. climbing up the beach, yard by yard, slogging through the mud, mile by mile, choking in the dust. The infantry's moving up, the infantry's moving in, the infantry's moving on and on and on. Yeah, brother, merrily, merrily, yeah, hallelujah, we're on our way.
From any high place here in Hollywood, you can look out across the city and you can see a forest which covers the hills to the south, which is the most valuable forest in the world, for it is one not of trees, but a forest of oil derricks. And as you stand in the midst of that forest, as far as you can see in every direction, the pumps are running to draw out of the earth the ink that is used to write the pages of history in a time of war. But there is also a tremendous mystery here. How much more of it is down there? How much longer will we have gasoline for our automobiles and our airplanes? And here is one answer from the passing parade. 13 years ago, out in the baking hot San Joaquin Valley of California, a man named Roy Barnes appeared. He was making a curious experiment. He was digging a small hole in the earth in which he placed a charge of dynamite. And then moving away several hundred yards, he placed on the ground a delicate instrument, which is called a seismograph, the device which is used to record earthquakes. It is so sensitive that it will record the trembling of the soil on the opposite side of the world. Setting off the dynamite charge, what Roy Barnes did was to create a man-made earthquake. And the needle of the instrument jumped, and the sound of the explosion died out, and all was quiet. But Barnes kept watching the needle, and suddenly it jumped again, though there had been but one explosion. To this man, it meant that 2.5 miles beneath the earth's surface, there was a layer of something, a layer of hard sandstone that was causing that little earthquake shock to echo. He was now actually able to construct a map of just what that invisible buried layer of sandstone was like, what that buried country was. And in one place, it seemed to rise into a curious rounded dome. To a geologist, this means one of three things. It's a pocket of dry and worthless sand, or one of equally worthless salt water, or one chance in 1,000, it is treasure. It is a pocket of gas and oil. Now, no man on earth had ever tried to dig a hole or drill a well that was 3 miles deep. The deepest mine on this earth is only a little over 1.5 miles down. But on June the 21st, 1937, an oil company gambling nearly $250,000 on the reading of Roy Barnes' map of the invisible treasure trove began drilling. Out in the valley under the blazing sun, section after section of drill pipe was threaded on as their bit sank deeper and deeper. It sank 2,000 feet, then 3,000, and it was now cutting through sand and gravel that had been laid down 2 million years ago when the great woolly mammoths fed on the grasses that grew in that valley. Then it went down 4,000, 5,000 feet, and now 10 million years in the earth's history. And night and day the drill turns 10,000 feet, 11,000 feet, 12 million years. 12,786 feet, the world's deepest drilling record is passed, and nerves are on edge. The crew is jittery as soldiers awaiting the zero hour. Every change and adjustment is made with desperate caution, for with one error, the drill pipe may twist off and the work have to be done all over again. 13,100 feet down now. The mud forced to the top by the pressure shows bubbles of black oil, and the stench of gas fills the air. And here, 314 feet deeper than man has ever dug before, is oil. But then they discover that it is not the flow they seek. At 14,250 feet, there's another flurry, oil again, but still not nearly enough. And again the machinery creaks and groans as these men push on and down, deeper and deeper into the globe. 14,020 million years of history, 15,000 feet, and now down into the Eocene sands of 60 million years ago. But they are sands barren of the faintest trace of oil. They have overshot their mark, and it is useless to go on. And yet,
At 13,180 feet, they decided to cement the liner in place, and they bailed the mud out, and 2.5 miles down, gases that had been pent up for 16 million years stirred at last, and up to the human beings that waited above shot a flow of pure black oil. Today, this well is known simply by the very unromantic name of KCLA-2. It's no longer the deepest well, but it may stand for all time as the most important one. For like the voyage of Columbus, it inspired others who have already pushed 270 feet deeper, and they're still going toward the core of the earth. Almost incredible things are happening in the oil industry. The industry carries on ceaseless research to obtain more and better gasoline out of the oil that we do get. 100-octane gasoline was once thought impossible. It's now commonplace. And it is no pipe dream that 140-octane gas in engines designed for its use may soon drive our cars 40 to 50 miles on a single gallon. The petroleum industry never rests in its constant efforts to increase the efficiency of its product and, of course, to find new sources of supply. And in the progress of industry, electricity plays an important part. The production of today's superfuels vitally depends upon such instruments as electric thermostats and one called the mass spectrometer. The old days of the hit-or-miss oil man are gone now, and in his place has come the oil engineer and the geologist with his seismograph, gravimeter, and the torsion balance. Also the chemist and even the paleontologist, who from fragments brought up from the bodies of long-dead beasts of the past can tell whether oil is apt to be found in that underworld that sank to its deep tomb millions of years ago. And in place now of the old Wildcat well that was drilled on a shoestring have come these wells like KCLA-2, that sometimes cost $1 million or more, but they probe into a new world that lies beneath our feet in that supremely vital search for oil of today's passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. Victor Young has arranged two of the delightful waltzes from the lovely score of Shari, which he plays now. A mighty fortress is our God.
Our helper here.
God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies. The captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, an humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Far called, our navies melt away. On dune and headland sinks the fire. Lo, all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget. Lest we forget.
Dear friends, we have sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. Speaking for Vic and Ken and the boys, I say we have enjoyed being with you. And so until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye and God bless.